Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Primarily the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I just want to go through the text and look at various words within it. But Romans 8, someone has remarked, is a chapter of God's word that begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. So it's a helpful to look at it in that light, to see the blessings that the Christian, the saved person has in Jesus Christ. No condemnation ending with no separation. A glorious, fixed, secure, and eternal salvation. No doctrine in the Bible of being converted, being saved, and then being lost again. Once his, we are always his. It is impossible to be separated from the love of God which is in Christ. And of course the chapter begins by speaking about being in Christ and the great blessing that we have. Notice it begins, there is therefore now no condemnation. The devil likes to constantly point us, knowing of course we have an allotted time on earth, and having us play with that time, give ourselves something we can't really. He likes to have us look to the there after. But the Bible constantly brings us to the here and now. And many times, be a lovely little study for you as an individual, just to look at the times and the context in which the term now actually appears. What we have in the here and now. What God would have us do in the here and the now. Don't be pointed to the there and after. Some think that's where it'll all be decided. It's the thereafter. When we get there, then perhaps whatever takes place will decide our destiny. No, when we get there, when we stand before the Lord, it will just be to hear that condemnation. That is already our state here and now. Indeed, the very state in which we are born. So don't be fooled. Don't be duped. Don't be conned. I've mentioned this in recent weeks. But again, it's the experience of men. It's repeated again and again and again. The eternal loss of the soul for multitudes has come from the fact that though they had intentions to be right with God, they were always thinking of the thereafter. Sometime in the future here, but ultimately the thereafter. No, it must be here. Let me just read you some texts that simply have the word now in them. You'll know them immediately and recognize them. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Not the thereafter, now. We're told in Acts 17, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's nothing of delay. It's the now. So I urge you, if you are moved, if you are deeply considering the things of God, don't wait till your concern passes, but seize the opportunity and seek the Lord. Call upon him while he may be found. Your time is running out. The sands of time, like the little egg timer, it's been flipped. They're draining through. Don't delay. And then we have, of course, here, there is therefore now no condemnation. Here's an experience. Here's something that we may possess. We may be assured and know we are not condemned. For be sure of it, that is our natural state. That's our status. That's our condition. It is one of condemnation. The Greek word could be simply translated, if condemnation causes us a problem or a difficulty, the word simply could be translated penalty. There is therefore now no penalty to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that's got a great implication. It tells us how there is no condemnation. That it's for those who are in Christ. So therefore, and we'll come to this in a moment, if we're not in Christ, then we're in the state of condemnation already. It isn't something for the future. The sentence, the penalty, will be executed then. Think of those, even in certain parts of the world, who have been sentenced to death at this very moment. That's their condition. That's their state. They've been found guilty of something, and by the laws of their land, whether they were good or bad, just or unjust, they've been sentenced to death. They won't go to the gallows or to be led out to be beheaded or to have a lethal injection strapped to the gurney. They won't then be aware of their condemnation. They're aware of it already. No, that's for the sentence to be executed and carried out. That's man. That's our natural state. We are condemned already. And no one less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Merciful, gracious, compassionate, who entered this world as a man to save sinners, taught us so. Stated it clearly. I take you to perhaps one of the best known chapters in the Bible, in John 3, and he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. Not the thereafter, the here and now. So we go back to the text, because there's wonderful news. There is good news. And I just want to go through it, not exactly word by word, but look at the terms. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. First of all, the qualification. There is therefore now no condemnation, no penalty, no execution. The penalty will not be carried out. Oh, for everybody, isn't that wonderful? Is it for everybody? Well, the text itself makes this qualification and gives it, doesn't it? It says there is now no condemnation, no penalty to them. To them, whoever the them are. Here's the limitation. It's to those who are in Christ. It's not for everyone. There's no universal redemption. No, it's for those who are in Christ Jesus. How would we know we are in Christ Jesus? The verse says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll come to that in a moment. But first of all, be very sure, be certain that there is a qualifier here that needs to be taken note of. It's not for everybody. The penalty will be executed on every single person without failure. There is no appeal to a higher court, to a higher justice, for there is none higher. This is an infinitely gracious, an infinitely just, a holy God who has declared us guilty. Why, we know it ourselves. In our better moments, when we assess ourselves and our thoughts, our words and our actions, we know before a holy God we are justly condemned. We will admit so again at our better moments. There is no argument with this. There's nothing is clear. We've transgressed the law, and the wages of sin is death. That's the sentence. We knew it. We know it. We have broken the law. We continue to break it. We are condemned already, and we will be executed. The penalty will be executed unless we are one of them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no penalty to them. Oh, they're a vast number. It continues to be added to with the passing of every day, every week, every month. The gospel's preached. People are studying the Bible. Some never had it. They have received it. They're beginning to read. Oh, unlike those perhaps in a very privileged place and brought up in a Christian home with evangelical church teaching, Sunday schools, Christian books, witness from their peers and friends and so on. Well, unlike all of that, for often those very people become hardened. They get tougher and harder, and the word has little or no impact. Once it did, but perhaps they're getting to that stage. Don't let it happen to you. What a privileged place and position to be in, to be born into a Christian home. Or to be in a community where there's an evangelical Christian church. Where you can freely put your hand on Christian literature that won't just waffle or tell you how good you are or we're all going to heaven. It'll tell you the truth. What a privileged place and position. Oh, indeed. But remember the Lord's words on this too. To those that are given much light, many privileges and advantages, much is required. It's a privilege, but there comes great responsibility with those privileges. Are you using them? Have you used them? Are you becoming harder, a little more cynical skeptical, less impact now on the heart when you hear your need of Christ, that you're a sinner before God. Does it have the same impact as a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? It won't get any better for you. You know the tragedy, as the time passes, the heart gets harder. We get more used. Familiarity, we say, breeds contempt. If not contempt, that might be too strong a word for some. At least it's not their experience just yet. Well, thank God for that. But it could be in the very near future if there isn't that responding to God, to the Lord, to the gospel. Come and seek him. Lord, don't let me reach that place. Don't let me become so hardened. Save me now. Well, there is therefore now present reality. You can know that there is no penalty for you. And indeed it must be in the here and now. You know, it's often said, we can't know until we're there. Don't be duped by that. I've mentioned that already. No, the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation. We're meant to know it. We're meant to be able to experience and receive and be assured that there's no penalty. Oh, it was our penalty. We were born in a state of condemnation. We grew up conscious from the moment we heard the gospel and things were explained to us that we were sinful. We committed sins worthy of the penalty. And we were so aware of it. But now there is no penalty to them, only to them which are in Christ Jesus. How do you be in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, think of the benefits simply. First of all, it means safety, security, provision, protection, blessing. Noah and his family alone were in the ark. Just a little picture. Jesus Christ is that ark for his people. Think what was inside. Again, warmth, provision, protection, safety. Outside, the deluge of God's wrath, God's storm of judgment was falling. The earth was broken up. The waters billowed. The rains came down. The state of condemnation. And that was only the temporal aspect, of course. They had to face God's judgment. But outside that ark, oh, nothing but wrath and judgment fell. Was that just back then? What a terrible picture. But listen, there is a greater judgment to come. To be outside Christ on the day of God's wrath, on the day of judgment. To be banished, to hear that one who will appear in his power and glory and beauty. To have you come before him and then see and gaze upon him face to face. Knowing this is the Son of God. This is the creator of the universe, of the world.
This is the Jesus that walked in Palestine, in Jerusalem. This is the Jesus they nailed to a cross. This is the Jesus the church proclaimed as the Messiah, the Son of God. Here he is in his glory, radiating, as it were, the glory, the purity, the holiness of God. What a sight to behold, but to be called before him, to be banished then from his presence. Oh, look, surely if you have a concern for your soul, you don't want this to happen. But there has to be a here and now then. There is therefore now no penalty. To see him with the beatific vision. That's what the theologians speak of. That benign, that beautiful, that glorious. Yes, radiating his majesty and glory and power. And yet at the same time, his love. How can anyone put this into words? Those he died for as he gazes upon them, as he looks at you, as a believer, that by his grace and his spirit you come to believe and trust him. You were in Christ. You had this experience on earth. You were assured there was no penalty because you were in Christ. You repented of your sin. You believed on him. You came as a guilty sinner, deserving nothing but his wrath. And you said, Lord, save me. Make me one of your own. And you were assured that that was the case. Now you see him. Now you fall before him. Now you see, as it were, the smile, the reception. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's already a reception. Spirit leaves the body. Then there is the yet even more to come. Oh, the difference, the contrast. We can't imagine how great that is. But the here and now, no penalty to those that are in Christ Jesus. Simply ask you, are you in Christ? Not the church. It's to them that are in Christ Jesus. Not who were in the font, in the baptistry, in the church, in the denomination. Not any of those things. In the confessional, not even there. Only to them that are in Christ. Repentance, faith. And they can know it. I finish with this. There is therefore now no condemnation, no penalty to them. Again, only to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We walked after the flesh. We could do nothing else in our condemned state. We were mastered by the flesh. There was no resistance. We were dead spiritually. How could we resist? We lived for ourselves. We lived independently of God and his rule. Well, at least our willing subjection to his rule. Ultimately, as sovereign, he rules over all. we walked, lived after the flesh. Its dictates, our fallen nature, our independence from God, our self-pleasing ways. Those things contradictory to God's word. Even at times when we tried to be better, we failed. We can't reform. No, there's one way. We must be in Christ. And what the text is saying is, if we are, so we don't try to do something ourselves, first of all, oh, there's the preparatory work we imagine. I've got to get myself to this level, and then I look to the Lord. Wrong way round. Don't even attempt it. Oh, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. That is, come prepared to yield yourself, to give yourself to his lordship and rule. But that's not preparatory. That's not attaining a level. That's coming as one who knows in your heart there is rebellion, but plead for his mercy, his pardon, his forgiveness. Then, if he unites you to himself, if he receives you, and if you earnestly seek him, he undoubtedly will. Then you will be in Christ. Then he will be in you. Then you will have a power to walk after or in the Spirit. Then you'll have a new master. Then you'll have a new objective and new goals. It won't be to please yourself. It will be to please him. This is the wonder of God's grace. He saves, he reconciles, he deals with our legal difficulties and problems. He makes us right, he justifies us, then he makes us better. He begins to transform and to change. So don't let the notion, I couldn't live the life of a Christian, that's why I don't come to Christ. Well, don't think as you are now. Of course you can't think of living as a Christian. Imagine if we were born, this is a ridiculous illustration, but if you were born a corpse, if you were dead, and someone was standing there looking down at this corpse and said, well, if you could just think about what it's like to be alive, and if you could think of doing this and this, and if you could think of what reading is and what it is to go for a hike and a walk, and it's a corpse, doesn't hear you, can't appreciate anything. Well, the analogy has its failing and its weakness. But you know, don't think of life and what it might be as a Christian, and then it puts you off when you think, I couldn't live like them. I couldn't do that. I couldn't read a Bible and enjoy it. I couldn't pray and imagine myself having any kind of joy in praying to someone I cannot see. I can't think of myself, as Christians speak, of loving the Lord when I'm just dead. I have no passion. I have no love. I can't even think of loving the Lord. What's that mean? Well, of course, what you need first is life. Life, then you can do these things. This is what it means. There's no penalty to them which are in Christ Jesus, then Christ Jesus is in them. Then they walk after the Spirit. They're alive. Everything's changed. The Apostle Paul tells us so. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. So look to the Lord. Here we go again. Will you go out the door thinking the there and the after? Or will you say, it's right, it has to be here and now? Oh, not literally in the next 3 seconds, though it mightn't be a bad time to start. But now, go home, think about it, pray, call out to the Lord. Will you promise yourself tomorrow? That would be a most foolish thing. Can you guarantee you'll see it? Young or old? Of course you can't. You know it, but deep down you assume you will. Otherwise, you would be crying out to God, do it. Do it because you know it. And ask him to save you.